Good morning, Neverland!
Good morning, Mr. Speed!
Tie down the main mast, mateys. Because here he is, the cunning kingfish, the bay barracuda! A man so deep, he's almost unfathomable. A man so quick, he's even fast asleep! Thank you! Now let's give him a very big aim. Because he's only got one. I give you the steel-handed stingray, Captain James Howe!
See how greatly the men favour you, sir?
The puling spawn, how I despise them.
Go get them, Captain!
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, my stupid, sorry, parasitic sacks of entrails. Revenge is mine.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Retro Movie Podcast, the podcast where everything is connected. I'm your host, Jacob Thompson, and joining me is my co-host, friend, and the person most likely to forget his sibling exists when he hasn't seen him for 24 hours, Alex Perkins. Perk, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. I think Nikki P might take offense to that one.
Like, I'm just... he's like, I have a sister? It's like, you saw her yesterday! Like,
yeah. Wait, you're my dad?
We'll talk about it. I have a lot... Right. I'll be honest, like, a lot of potholes this movie. A lot of potholes. But, welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This is the show where every week Perk and I review a movie that was connected to the last one we watched. If you like our show, we post every Friday on podcast services. If you like our show, you can watch a movie with us, and you can also tell your friends about the show, and they can join in on the fun. But yeah, let's get into it, Perk. This week we're talking about Hook, following Maggie Smith from Sister Act we watched last week. What is this movie about?
Yeah, so Hook is a 1991 joint directed by some young up-and-comer called Steven Spielberg. Mm-hmm. And it follows Robin Williams as an aged real-life Peter Pan who his kids get kidnapped into Neverland and he has to go rescue them and rediscover his inner child and become Peter Pan again. And a couple of neat little fun facts. When they're on the plane to England, the voice of the captain is Dustin Hoffman, who is Captain Hook. And then when Tinkerbell takes unconscious Peter back to Neverland and dumps a little, pixie dust on a couple standing on a bridge and they start floating, it's George Lucas and Carrie Fisher.
Were they making out?
As cameos, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
I did see that. I'm like, they're actors, Jake.
I mean, yeah, but that feels a little weird to me. But that's a nice game. I did. I'll be honest. I noticed that couple floating. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Because I haven't seen Peter Pan in a hot minute, so I don't remember how the flight mechanics work with this. You know, you need the pixie dust and the happy thought. I thought you see the happy thought. That was the whole thing. We get into it, but. Yeah, any other fun facts?
Yeah, one more is that the Dame Maggie Smith was only 56 and had to be dressed up to be 92, which comes around because now she looks 92 in real life.
I heard somebody say on a podcast, like, Maggie Smith has looked like 80 for the last, like, 40 years. Like,
yeah.
It's insane.
I'd say that's fair.
Which is not a bad thing. I mean, she always kills it.
Yeah, she does.
Big shout out to Maggie Smith. Perk, I'll go to you first. What did you think of Spielberg's Hook?
I'll be honest, I didn't.
Yeah.
I
had a feeling watching, like, Perk's not gonna like this movie.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just that I was bored to tears. I don't know. I was chatting with you earlier before the show about sometimes it's about the mindset, and I don't think I was in the right mindset to watch this movie because it couldn't really keep my attention. It felt very long. It felt very slow. The plot wasn't especially interesting to me. But there are definitely some highlights. Like, the set design is impeccable.
Yeah.
The effects are good.
Yeah.
And the acting is great, especially Dustin Hoffman, who is giving it his absolute all as Captain
He's
Hook.
Killing it, dude. He's killed it. Yeah, I'm inclined to agree, actually. I think this movie's a little bit overhyped. I've heard so many people just say how it's like their favorite movie or they love this movie with all their heart. And I'm just like, I feel like you watched it as a kid and loved it. And if you watched it now, it'd be a lot of nostalgia doing the work. Not to say it's a bad movie, but like...
No, I think there's something to that. That's what I was thinking about, too, is like there are movies from when I was a lot younger that I have a personal experience with that aren't the greatest movies of all time, but I'll love them and I'll always love them, you know?
Yeah.
Like, for example, In Time, the Justin Timberlake movie.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I love that movie. That was my favorite movie ever for like a few years when I was a youth. Like, it's not that good of a movie, but, you know, I personally, when I watched it, I think I saw it like 3 times in the theaters.
Like, my counterpart to that is Jumper with Hayden Christensen.
Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, these aren't great movies, but...
Yeah.
And you know what? I'll give credit. I mean, this movie's well put together. Like, it's probably
it's
a better
fun.
Movie
like,
than those other ones, but...
I can see why kids would love this movie. Like, there's a lot of fun kid shit in this movie. Like, if you want to be one of the Lost Boys, you know, if you're watching this as a kid, right?
Sure.
You see all, like, the shit they do. But it's like... And it is fun. It was just... Like you said, it just felt kind of slow and disjointed even. There's a lot of fucking potholes.
Okay, so here's where...
People's memories are going crazy, never lie. There's forgetting shit constantly, dude.
And that might be a plot mechanic. Like, I don't actually know. Like, maybe kids in Neverland, you know, forget their families.
Let me just say one thing. Let me say one thing.
Thud was talking about his mom, so clearly they don't all forget their families.
The one that pissed me off the most, right? Okay, so... Peter Pan finds his old home and he gets his memory back, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, figures out his happy thought is picturing his son being born, or just his son, right?
Yeah.
Which implies that every time he is flying, he's thinking about his son. Immediately after that, he flies up to say hi to Tinkerbell and she's like, oh, go save your kids. He's like, what kids? Peter Pan doesn't have kids. Bitch, you were just flying thinking about your son. Like, it doesn't make any sense, dude. And then you're like, Jack. It's like, forgets about his sister, forgets about his dad. Like, I don't get it, Burke. I do not understand. People are just forgetting shit constantly in Neverland.
So, I was kind of hoping you'd come in with this lens of just kind of attacking plot holes because I just, like, I wasn't even really paying attention. So, I did not pick up on a lot of this stuff, but I think it's interesting to think about. But, yeah, I think there's actually quite a bit of, like, context you need from the original Peter Pan.
I agree. Yeah,
which,
I was, like, lost,
you know,
a lot of time.
I haven't seen since I was a tot, you know? So there's a lot of stuff where I'm like, who is... What? Like, am I supposed to know who Toodles is? You know?
I don't know.
Are we? I still don't know.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know if he's in the original or not.
It's exposed that he's a Lost Boy, so it... You know, it makes sense in the end, but...
Well, even, like, the Peter-Wendy relationship, I was really fuzzy on walking this movie. I'm like, weren't they the same age? And weren't they, like, a thing? Like, didn't she, like, fall in love with him? Which they kind of follow up on. But the fact that she was, like, way older than him, I was, like, very confused about that. Which, again, they eventually, like, explain that.
Yeah.
But I agree, like, walking without a lot of context, I felt like I was missing stuff. For, like, the first half of this movie.
Yeah, it feels more like a direct sequel than its own, you know, its own telling. Which, I mean, it is its own story. But, it feels like there's a lot of legwork done by the original, which I haven't heard that story in a bajillion years.
Which, and I do want to say it, just to not to show the movie constantly. I do think the idea is a cool idea.
Definitely.
I think the premise of the movie is interesting. However, I don't think the amnesia angle was the way to play it. I think... It would have been a little darker, but having him have, like, PTSD, and... Because, like, we see, like, hints of that, of him, like, being, like, afraid of heights and stuff, and it's kind of played for a comedic effect, but if you could have, like, twisted that, be, like, more, like, suppressed, or, like, he, I don't know, is, like, traumatized from that period of his life, and he doesn't want to, like, go back and think about it, as opposed to just being completely forgetting, which also doesn't make any sense. Like, how did he lose his memory? We don't get that explanation.
Not really.
So, but anyway, the premise is interesting enough, and the fact he has to go back and all that is fine. I also think some of the characters are just, like, specifically Tinkerbell. What was she doing in this movie?
I don't really know, other than, like, to give Julia Roberts a job.
Which, also, I saw, I'm like, is that Julia Roberts? Yeah, what the hell? She's Tinkerbell in this movie? But, like, she's helpful.
Pretty good.
I mean, she was having a good time, but, like, she's helpful, and then she's, like, not. She's like, oh, yeah, I'll do this stuff for you and, like, help you get there. But then she gets just like, oh, the Lost Boys got to do all the work now. It's like, you were just helping. And now you're just, like, on the sidelines for this half the movie. And then you turn into an adult, which I don't know how that happened. And then you kiss Peter Pan, and then you go back. It was just like.
So, this is, again, more context that you might be missing. But, like, in the original Peter Pan, Tinkerbell is just, like, actually a psychopath. like Tinkerbell is arguably the bad guy. Like, she pretty much works against everything because, you know, she's in love with Peter. So it does follow on a little bit. But yeah, she kind of felt like more just like a conduit to move the plot along sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like they had to have Tinkerbell in the movie because Tinkerbell's one of the main characters in the original, but they didn't know what to do with her really. So
yeah,
she's just kind of like around.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Peter Pan is kissing everybody in this movie.
Hey, he gets around, I guess.
He's making out with the mermaids. He's making out with Tinkerbell.
That mermaid scene was so dumb.
That was so weird.
Why did that need to happen?
And then it just cuts to him being on the elevator, which, like, I felt like it was missing a scene. I'm like, wait, what happened? Like, how did he get on? But then, okay, I'm sorry. 13-year-old Peter kissing Moira while she was asleep on the lips? I'm like, what? This is so creepy, dude. This is so creepy.
A little bit.
He's kissing everybody he's not supposed to be kissing this movie.
Yeah, I suppose. also, if we're just kind of like throwing gripes, like, I don't know if he's in the original, but Rufio as guy who's obviously gonna die.
Okay.
You know?
Also, right after he dies, they get over his death immediately.
Oh, yeah. They're just moved on.
Immediately. Yeah.
From the start, it's like, okay, we need some adversary, so. Red hair man, and then you know it becomes pretty obvious. Like, well, there has to be some consequence, so someone has to die. How about the only other character with a first name? You know, like or whatever.
Yeah, and so yeah, going and yeah, switching to some positives. I do really think I agree. Like Hook and Smee were really fun and funny in this movie.
Definitely.
They're having a great time. Like, especially like Smee actually was like a standout character for me. I thought he had a really good some good lines and some good comedy.
There's actually like I can't remember any examples, but there's a lot of really like clever little dialogue moments that I had a nice chuckle with. And Smee is the part of a lot of them. Yeah.
Yeah, he was my favorite character, but I don't know if you felt this. I was really sad that they just like. Took the easy way out and just killed Hook. I wanted him to, like, be reformed or have, like, an actual arc in this movie. Because they, like, implied it. Like, he's depressed. He's, like, suicidal, which is, like, I feel like in these old movies they're joking about suicide a lot.
Yeah.
Which is kind of uncomfortable. But anyway, he's like, what's my purpose anymore? Like, I'm old, I'm washed out. I'm like, okay.
It's an interesting angle, yeah.
I thought maybe he was going to learn through, like, taking in Jack. Like, maybe he wants a family. He wants, like, a son. And then, at the end of the movie, he, like, somehow, like, maybe, like, adopts the Lost Boys, or he adopts, like, Rufio or something, and he, like, turns into a good guy. No, they just kill him. And I'm just like, you could have done something there, man. You had the arc set up, and then you just gave up on it.
Also, that scene feels like it stretches on so long.
His death scene?
Yeah, it feels like they kind of flip-flop between, like, I concede. No, I don't!
That was so weird.
But now, not anymore! Yeah, so that scene and then the introduction felt very long to me because it's like over half an hour before like anything happens.
Yeah, it takes way too long for Peter to like one to get to Neverland, but then also like get any sort of mojo back. It takes way too long, and I'm just like I'm not excited about watching this dude like not have his memory for this long in the movie.
Fair enough, but I mentioned earlier, but like the set design is awesome.
Yeah,
and,
production is incredible.
And the acting is pretty damn good. I mean, Robin Williams is, like, perfect. Dustin Hoffman is having the time of his life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Smith is just always great.
Yep.
I don't know. The kids were great, too. Like, you know, child actors can be hit and miss, but I feel like on this this podcast, we've seen a lot of hits from from child actors. But yeah, they were great.
I would agree. I think, yeah, overall they're really good. I will say I thought some of Jack's line reads were a little bit weird. But besides that, I don't really have. Also, Rufio's accent, what was that?
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, overall, I agree. I especially liked Thud.
Thud's great, yeah.
Dude, I was dying at the Thud ball.
Like the cannonball, yeah.
Like, and they clearly cuts to like a puppet, but it was just so funny. Like every single time, it killed me. That was great. Yeah, no, and I will say, like, I definitely popped. I popped for the food reveal. When he, like, does the thing and it hits Rufio's face and then all the food appears. I'm like, okay, that was pretty cool.
That was
like,
really
fun, enjoyed that. And the, like you said, the effects were really, really good. Like, the flying especially was, like, incredible. Yep. I'm sure it was all wire work, but it looked, like, so good. And I think pretty much all the effects, like, hold up in this movie, except for some of the Tinkerbell, like, insert shots, like, a little bit off, but
some
besides
of the,
that.
Some of the green screens are obvious, too, but, you know, like, when you think it's, like, 1991, like,
yeah, no,
this is pretty good.
It's really well done. But yeah, I mean, this movie, like, it's 2 hours and 20 minutes. This should have been $1.45, man.
Yeah, like, I'm in the same boat. I think it just takes too long. It's not that they squeeze too much in. It's just a little too drawn out, you know?
Yeah. But like I said, yeah, acting is good. I probably haven't seen enough Robin Williams performances, but he, like, surprised me of how well he was playing, like, the shitty dad in the first part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, him, like, yelling at the kids and stuff. I'm like, damn, like, I actually, like, believe this, and it's kind of uncomfortable.
For sure.
But that plot line was kind of, like you said, expected and took way too long. But yeah, I don't know. That's I feel bad because I feel like a lot of people love this movie and we're just kind of shitting on it. But like, if you tell me to watch this or Sister Act, I'm picking Sister Act every day of the week.
Yeah, it's just a way funnier movie. I don't know that they're comparable, but I agree with you.
Sister I mean, they're Act both is family comedy.
Yeah,
movies.
Yeah.
I guess they're not like adventure, but.
No, I know what you mean. They're in a similar lane of just, you know, being a family type comedy.
Yeah. Do you have any recommendations based on this movie?
I mean, like other Spielberg stuff, you know, like E.T. maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's just kind of like epic family friendly type stuff. Spielberg's your guy.
Yeah.
And I guess like to be topical with right now, like Fablemans, but I'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I was thinking maybe just like Aladdin because of Robin Williams.
Oh, sure.
But
yeah, I mean, pretty much everything Robin Williams does is good.
Yeah. But I mentioned before the podcast, like, I didn't know this was a Spielberg movie until I read the IMDb page like days, like the next day, which I think is pretty telling about the quality of the movie.
Well, so I noticed because I know his production company, Amblin, and I was like, wait a second. What? It's a Spielberg movie, and I looked it up. I'm like, oh, what do you know? And so I came into it with the lens, and I, you know, I don't think it's his best work, but you can see some of the flair.
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, that's Hook. I'm sorry if you're a fan and we shit on it, but you know what?
Yeah, I
hate believe what we say.
Ruined dreams, but oh. we talked about it. You know, like if you love this movie. Love this movie, you know?
It's, yeah, I mean, it's fun. Like we said, it's a fun time. I understand why people would like it. It's just, I don't know.
Certainly not, like, offensive. It's not like a, I can't believe you like this movie type of movie.
Yeah.
And there are some of those, but certainly this is not it.
One last thing. Gwyneth Paltrow in this movie. Out of nowhere.
As whom?
Young Wendy.
What do you know?
In the flashback. And I was like, is that Gwyneth Paltrow? And it was. It's like her second acting credit of all time.
Crazy.
Crazy cast. Perk, let's get to our bonus reviews, because we got a lot. So in 2 weeks, it's the last episode.
Yeah,
apologies to our listeners out there. We were both busy last week, and we couldn't fit it in. But it's time to catch up. You got six, I got three. I'll start with you, then. You want to do, like, right. Two?
Sure. I'll do a couple short ones. So first off, at your recommendation, I listened to the Martin McDonagh, Taylor Swift directors on directors. Mm-hmm. And in the interest of due diligence, I watched Taylor Swift's short.
Mm. You hadn't seen it yet?
No, I had not.
Oh, okay.
And I watched it after that interview because I was interested. And credit where it's due, it's really well directed.
Mm-hmm.
The song's fine. I don't love Taylor Swift's music, but the direction is really good. Mm-hmm. The acting is really good. It's weird because it's Sadie Sink and Dylan O'Brien, and there's like an 11-year age gap there, but that's the point.
Yeah, that's the point, yeah.
So it makes sense, you know, and it's understandable. And yeah, I think it's well put together for sure. And the fight scene is really well choreographed, if that's even a thing, I guess. But
no, yeah, I agree. The writing in that scene, or the like, or if there was improvised, it was really well done.
Yeah, so I think Taylor Swift has the chops. You know, I think she's directed her music videos in the past too. So if she ever steps to a feature, I'll be interested to check it out.
Hell yeah!
And then another kind of quick semi review. Out of morbid curiosity, I don't know if you've seen the talk on the line, but I watched the first two episodes of Velma.
What's the buzz? I have not been been seeing the scuttlebutt.
Velma is a Scooby-Doo origin story, but it's like Velma's origin story, and Velma's voiced by Mindy Kaling. And it's let me just introduce you to the first scene. All right.
Okay.
The scene opens up with forced narration, because of course. They're in a girls' locker room, and a cockroach crawls out from under a trash can, and another cockroach crawls out and starts banging the first cockroach.
Oh.
So right there, we've set the tone, and you know exactly what the show is. It's just, it's the same. I mean, it's not the same as like all those adult animated comedies that Netflix pumps out religiously that all have super uninspired animation and super bottom of the barrel humor.
That is a bummer, man. That is a massive bummer.
And actually, I think it's an exercise, and it's working. I think it's an experiment on, if we try and piss everybody off, will everyone watch our show? And it's kind of working. I mean, a lot of people are like, I watched it just because I was so curious, but it does things that will piss off everyone, like both sides of the aisle, because they have a lot of diverse characters, and you know, race swapping characters, and you know that shit doesn't piss me off, but some white guy is getting really mad. There's no Scooby-Doo. Scooby-Doo's not in the show. Then on the other, like, other side of things, so they have Daphne's parents are interracial lesbian couple who are both cops and shoot an unarmed teenager.
What the fuck?
Like, how can we possibly piss off everybody is what this show feels like.
Okay, let me just ask, because just from the trailers, like, the art looked nice.
I mean,
is the art animation still, like, decent?
The animation's okay, and they have some interesting scenes where, like, Velma's dealing with, like, an anxiety, and there's, like, a monster, and it's... The animation, I think that the base animation is pretty uninspired, but occasionally they have some flair. The through-line plot, I actually don't mind. It's, like, kind of an interesting premise, but just the peripherals around it are just so awful. In the two episodes, I didn't laugh a single time, and it's a comedy show. And it's not that I was trying to hate it. The jokes are just not funny.
Yeah.
It is absolutely insane how many times they make the joke. They love meta jokes. Like, in the first scene, it's in a girl's locker room, and there's a murder, and one of the characters is like, hey, don't you think it's always weird how in, like, teen comedies there's always, like, a bunch of nudity in the pilot and then never again after that while they're taking a shower?
Doing that. Yeah.
And they do that, like, 5 or 6 times an episode. They make a meta joke about, like, TV or movies. And it's super gross and so cringe.
Lazy.
It's incredibly lazy. And it's that whole Deadpool concept of, like, is calling out your own bad writing an excuse for your bad writing? Probably not. I don't know.
God, that is such a bummer, dude. Like, I feel like the show had so much heightened potential, and people were really excited about it, and just to hear it's just another, like,
I will say as well,
like, adult comedy in the worst way.
Yeah, it does feel like all those adult comedies. Voice acting, I think it's pretty good. Okay. I'll have to look it up, but so Shaggy in this show is Norville, who's a black teenager voiced by Sam Richardson, which is he's great. Fred is voiced by Glenn Howerton from Always Sunny.
Mm-hmm.
And he does a really good job. I already mentioned Velma is Mindy Kaling, and then Daphne is Constance Wu. Mm-hmm. So another race swapped character, although it's kind of hard to tell because Daphne is a light skinned red haired character. So until they mentioned that she was Asian, I didn't really know, which probably a good thing. Mm-hmm. But also kind of weird because that's when they bring up it's Velma asks Daphne how she feels about race swapping characters for Velma being
they're just
of Southeastern Asian descent and Daphne being of Asian descent. And
so there's just, what you're telling me is there's like negative nuance in this show. Like,
yes, they bash you over the head with everything.
It's not like the writing. It's just like, the real fall of the show. The writing is just horrible.
The joke writing, absolutely. I don't mind the through line plot, and I'll probably watch the whole season because I hate myself. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I'll keep you posted. It's a bad start. You know, when everyone's talking online about how bad something is, it's kind of hard to look away.
Yeah.
So I checked it out. I would not recommend it, but yeah, I don't know.
Dang. Yeah, it's a bummer for just because that show could have been so much better, but also it's a bummer of like, that's what the little animation is left that HBO is doing. Like, yeah. It's still Harley Quinn, which is like a super great, but like, it's really depressing.
No, the big running joke was that HBO put out that Velma is the highest grossing opening weekend for any animated show they've ever had on HBO, and it's like, everyone's like, yeah, because you canceled all the rest of them.
Yeah.
It's the only one, you know? And like you said, I guess Harley Quinn's still going, but they really cleaned out their animation studios at HBO.
Yeah. It's really depressing.
And then, just to touch on, like, you remember when I did supplements and watched that new Scooby-Doo movie last, it was like Halloween time?
Mm-hmm.
It was so good, and
yeah,
it's not forced. You know, it's the same, same plot as always, and it's... Mm-hmm. Pretty straightforward, but like even in that one, like Velma's pretty openly lesbian, mm-hmm. and they don't have to punch you in the face with it.
Yeah,
I don't know. Sorry for turning that short 2-episode review into a rant.
It's fine. Yeah, I'm bummed, man. It's a big bummer. Speaking of Martin McDonagh, I finally watched Banshees.
Do tell.
I watched it this weekend. It's hard, man, because like it's a good movie. Like, by all it's a great movie, great performances. Like, objectively, it's good. I just didn't emotionally connect with it, and I was hoping to. I did laugh at some of the jokes. I probably didn't laugh every time I was supposed to because Matt McDonagh's dark humor doesn't always hit me.
Fair enough.
Specifically, both scenes in the confession booth were really funny to me.
Yeah.
And I like the themes they're exploring, like about like loneliness and how like that can lead to like selfishness. But when the movie finished, I was like, I wanted it to like hit me, and it just didn't hit me.
That's fair.
Emotionally.
McDonough's just not your guy. I don't think.
But Three Billboards, I mean, granted, he didn't write that one, so maybe that's why. Did he write that play?
I think he writes all his own stuff.
It's
from a play.
He normally does, but
he is a playwright.
He is a playwright. So I don't know if he wrote the original Three Billboards, right, but I love that movie. That movie's fucking incredible.
Yeah, he is. He's the writer on that as well.
Okay, so that's maybe just the odd one out, and I haven't watched Improved yet.
I mean, yeah, it could be the exception to prove the rule, you know?
Yeah.
Because stylistically, I could see why it's just not for you. So I totally understand.
I liked Carrie Condon. Killed it.
Yeah, she's great. She's really
good. All the characters are well written and like interesting. Maybe I was just asking for too much, but I just really wanted to be like an aha moment or like an emotional gut punch.
Sure.
And I think I want to mention, I didn't know I was spoiled on some stuff that happened in the movie, so that probably affected my viewing. Like, I don't want to say for those who haven't heard it yet. Okay. But like,
yeah, yeah.
The thing that, like, sends Colin Farrell over the edge, I had known about.
Oh, that's too bad.
I didn't know how it happened, but I knew that it happened.
Yeah, yeah.
So that
kind of probably, another darkly comic moment.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I think it should, people should check it out. It just didn't really, you know, when I watch all three times I've watched Everything Ever All at Once, I've been bawling my eyes out for the whole second half of that movie.
Fair enough.
And no movie has hit me like that recently. So maybe I'm just reaching for something that's a little too high up there. But yeah, solid flick, but didn't affect me.
Not your cup of tea. I get it.
Yeah. All right, back to you. Give me two more perk.
All right, we'll do the indies. So
indie time.
I went. Luke was in town, so I went and caught two movies while he was here. First one we went and saw was The Whale, with Brendan Fraser, and directed by Darren Aronofsky, and Hong Chau is in it, and Sadie Sink is in it. Second appearance of Sadie Sink on my bonus reviews this week. It's really good.
Yeah.
It is. It's fantastic. I think that obviously the highlight is Brendan Fraser's performance. But not to be left behind are the supporting cast, which are fantastic. There's Hong Chau is great. I think she's due up. She's next up. She's really good. Sadie Sink kind of kills it as well, as like a scorned teenage daughter. And then forget his name, but some kid who used to be a child actor and things, plays like a door to door Christian guy. And he's also really good, and he has some really powerful moments with Brendan Fraser. But I think this is not going to be a movie for everyone. It's one of those movies that feels like a stage play, kind of, because it's mainly one room set.
I mean, based on one.
It is based on a play. Yeah. So, and I think that emotionally it really hits very hard. I had such a good time, and the ending I loved. People are gonna bounce back and forth on the ending, but I was a huge, huge fan.
Also, the direction. The boy's name is Ty Simpkins.
Okay, yeah, he was in stuff. I recognized him from things.
He's the kid from Iron Man 3.
That's it. Yes. Yeah, because in Endgame, he's like.
He's at the funeral. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a normal aged person at that point. I think. So. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. The score is great. The lighting and set design are really cool. The story goes in ways that I wasn't really anticipating, so I'm not going to say anything because I would recommend it. But yeah, I think it's definitely worth a watch, for anyone, especially people who are interested in the awards circuit, although Brendan Fraser did not pick up the Golden Globe.
Correct.
Which was a little bit surprising to me, but I haven't seen Elvis, so I'll have to watch Elvis at some point. What else? I thought I had something else for this one.
Yeah, I definitely want to watch it. I just got to get in the emotional headspace.
Yeah, that's fair. and a lot of people have been questioning, like, the representation and, like, oh, this is, prejudice
against fat people. Is it harmful or is it helpful to the conversation? Yeah.
And I think that the counter there is that it is a play and it is an autobiographical play. It is written by a man who went through a very similar experience. So I think you shouldn't maybe... like stop someone from telling their story because I don't know. It's a tough, touchy subject, but it's written from a place of truth. So I don't think it's all that damaging because it's just telling a person's story.
Right. And that truth might be also true. Some people might be false for others. Yeah, I'd probably say if you're wondering about that, then probably just watch it instead of, like, seeing what other people say about it.
Yeah, it's, like, it's one of those things too where you should really watch it and formulate your opinion. And if you don't like it, absolutely, like, trumpet that around. But I feel like we're too much in a society where a lot of people are like, "Oh, I heard this was bad." It's like, okay, you shouldn't be telling me that you heard it was bad. You know, you should hold that to yourself and not watch it. But I don't know.
Yeah, I got you. What's the next indie you want to talk about?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Get ready. We're going left field on this one.
All right.
The movie theater down the street was playing, it's called EO. It is the Polish submission for Best International Film. It didn't even catch a nom at the Golden Globes, which I'm kind of pissed about because it's a banger. It's really good.
Hold on. Is this a Winnie the Pooh situation?
No, it is not a Winnie the Pooh situation.
Oh, okay, because I see a donkey. I'm like, is that Eeyore?
That's the thought I had as well, but no, that is... It has nothing to do with Winnie the Pooh. It follows the story of a donkey named Eeyo, and he kind of just, like, goes on a little odyssey. Like, he bounces around from place to place and, you know, experiences new people and new settings, and... it's fantastic. It's really good. Okay. And I think no one's going to see it because nobody's ever heard of it. Like, I didn't even know about it until I looked at the showtimes.
Yeah.
The direction is amazing. It's very stylistic. There are a lot of really, really hyper-stylized moments. And it's fairly dialogueless, so it's kind of carried by the camera and the editing and, you know, the filters they throw on the screen and the sound design is really good. The score is really good. It's hard to describe, but there are some very ethereal scenes. Like at one point, you know, it's just like a deep red filter, just like drone footage through a forest, you know, and you really feel it. I don't know. It's hard to describe this movie because there's like a very loose story. It just kind of follows a donkey on his journey. I loved it. I watched it with Luke, and he also really liked it. Yeah, and it's Polish, but there's so little dialogue that it's not really a problem. The one thing I would say is avoid this one if you're not a big fan of animal abuse. It's not directly depicted most of the time. It's often, you know, off screen or from a different camera angle where you don't have to see it, but I think it would be uncomfortable for some, and I wouldn't want anyone to watch something like that would make them super uncomfortable. And then there's one scene of, like, really just sharp, like, out of nowhere violence, but it's fairly reserved, but it's all of a sudden it's like, oh my, all right.
Yeah.
What do you know?
Okay.
I had
no idea about this movie.
I don't know. If it comes on any sort of streaming, I'll let you know. But I wouldn't say you need to rush to a theater to see it. Not like any theater near you is showing it.
Yeah. I'd be out of luck there.
But yeah, I mean, to all the viewer out there, like, if you see this one at a theater and you got downtime, like, it's worth it. It's not super long. It's definitely a good time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, speaking of foreign language nominated movies, I was looking at probably Golden Globes or something. There's an A24 one called, is it Close or Closer?
It's Close. Yep.
Close. Is that one on your radar?
Yes, I know about it. I didn't want to watch it because it, like, reading the synopsis, it just looks like this is just going to be painful.
Yeah.
Like, this is just going to, like, I think it explores, you know, young male friendship and when that transfers to being weird and how, you know, it evolves if I think one of the main characters ends up being gay. And it's just, it does not look like a nice, you know, good with a little popcorn and some soda type of movie, you know? So yeah, I have not checked it out. I don't know. If it gets on the Oscar list for best international feature, I might watch it, but I feel like that category is kind of stacked, so we'll see.
Okay.
I think that's French too. France is always a hard region to get out of.
Yeah, whenever I see A24, I'm like, oh, Perk, you'd probably watch that.
Well, I know what it is, so you're not far off.
There's another A24 one. It's the one about the Marine. You know what I'm talking about?
I think you got me on this one.
Give me 1 second.
All right. This is great radio.
Is it The Invitation or is it... No, The Inspection. The Inspection.
Oh, so I watched a actors roundtable that had the star.
That's how I found out about it, which was a great roundtable, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and so I'm like, what is this movie? And I'm like, oh, it's A24. Perk should watch this.
I should watch that.
I'm not going to watch it because it sounds super sad and hard to watch.
Well, but
Perk will probably do it.
That's another one where it's a... it's an autobiographical writer-director story.
Right.
I'd like to. I will have to see if I can watch it anywhere because, as is the tradition with A24, you can't stream their stuff.
Yep. Anyway, so if you're a fan of the, I don't know, the culture, check out this roundtable that has Jeremy Pope in it along with Brendan Fraser. Ki Kwan, who else on that one?
I think Colin Farrell's in there.
Colin Farrell, yep. Great one. I almost cried at one point.
It's a very good roundtable for sure.
Yeah.
I've yet to actually finish the producer's roundtable, but I'm a little bit less interested in that. No offense to producers.
I actually watched that one. It was actually interesting because we don't get to hear from producers a lot. I do think... A couple of them, I don't want to name names. If you watch, you might know. A couple of them at the table, I think, were a little bit tone deaf.
Fair enough.
But I think there's some solid conversations in there, and I think it's worth watching just to get more insight into like that role and what they do, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, at face value, you just kind of assume that they just bankroll.
Right.
But, I mean, they have more of a
That's more of an executive producer.
Yeah, I suppose.
As far as I understand. But anyway, interesting conversation nonetheless.
Yeah.
Next one I will talk about... I'll go the anime route. So I'm back on my morning show routine where I watch one episode in the morning to try to, you know, wake up during the day. And this show I finished recently is the perfect show for that. It's called Do It Yourself. And it is an anime about a do-it-yourself club at a all-girls high school where they just, like, build stuff out of wood. And it's just great. The main character is kind of like a clumsy but carefree and like joyous person. And she's, you know, opposite her neighbor slash like best friend, but also kind of former best friend. Because there was kind of like a fight, who's very like, you know, uptight and smart and, you know, all that stuff. And it's kind of them about them coming back together as friends and then just like. Learning how to build like a treehouse with the club, and it's just like super like cute and wholesome, and I really enjoyed it. I want to give extra shout out to the art style. Typically, in kind of slice of life shows like this are kind of just like standard and nothing super crazy, but like the art style is really calming and pretty, and they just do like little spots of color that they didn't have to, but it just really adds. Like for all the main characters, I think they all have like long hair. And basically, Perk, like, so, you know, the hair comes behind me or whatever. And, like, the shadow that'd be right here, like, the shadow in between the neck and the hair is, like, green or purple or pink. Oh, like, every character has their own color. So, like, their shadows are, like, that color. And it's just, like, a little thing that's just, like, oh, that's kind of cute. So, yeah, if you just want, like, a super chill, wholesome show to relax to, do it yourself, great time. And you can learn about building a treehouse. I learned you got to get these special screws, Perk. I did not know about before, so now in the future I'm ready to go here.
Dope.
Yeah, there you go. What are your last two movies you want to talk about?
Yeah, all right. Are you done?
I got one more little one.
All right, I'll do one and then one and then one.
Okay.
So next up we got The Fabelmans, which I went and saw. I walked over there and found out that Movie Tuesday is a thing.
Ooh,
didn't know that, but it's $5 for a ticket. Yeah, so I'll be hitting that up for sure. It is the story of Steven Spielberg's life. And, I really wasn't entirely sure what to expect, coming out into this movie, but it's really good. It's It's like good plus. It's like a firm thumbs up, but not like an overbearing, enthusiastic thumbs up. So
okay.
My biggest takeaway, I think the best thing in this movie is, I even looked it up to try and find it, but I don't know if there was like a Foley artist, but the sound design is really fantastic, especially when he's editing, like, because you have to chop up film, right? And, paste it to the wall and put a note on it.
Mm-hmm.
All the tactile sounds, like, it's almost ASMR level of, like, really just sounds fantastic.
That's awesome.
Direction, shockingly, Spielberg, really good. And watching him, like, you watch him grow from, like, first movie, first camera, first production, you know, when he's, like, a Boy Scout, you know? First major, like, bunch of people on a set, and, you know, they'd show him finding out, you know, tactics on, like, how to do some little cheap practical effects, and that whole part of the movie's great. The family relationship is also really good. Paul Dano is his dad. Michelle Williams is his mom. And both those actors really, really knock it out of the park. Michelle Williams especially. Like, I don't think she's going to win Best Actress. I'm not entirely sure who's going to win Best Actress, but I think early signs are Kate Blanchett. I still have to watch Tar. Michelle Williams is amazing in this movie. She plays a character with such nuance and such power and creativity, and she's, you know, stifled and held back a little bit and struggling with herself, and she's portrayed so well, and it's got to be so hard for Michelle Williams to be like, Steven Spielberg asks you to literally play his mom, you know? So what a task. And Paul Dano is, so they have a dynamic of, like, she's the artistic, like, the free spirit, and he's, you know, cold, clinical, like, scientific computer genius.
Yep.
And they have a great dynamic, and Seth Rogen plays a friend in the family. He's really good, too, you know? I wasn't really even ready for what kind of role he would play, but he also does a great job. So, and then it follows the family as they move from, I forget where they even started out. They move to Phoenix, and then they're there for a while, and then they move to California. And when they get to California, they do a high school, and there's like a mean bully jock and a anti-Semitic kid. And that whole stretch of the movie, I hate to be like, hey, Steven, that part of your childhood sucked. but
that's what you're saying.
That felt pretty lame and run-of-the-mill. Although they have a resolution with the bully that is really cool. Like, the way that they handle it is super interesting and makes you kind of think. Overall, I think maybe a touch too long, but I was never really bored, other than, like, high school scenes are a little just meh. I wouldn't say this is one of my favorite films of the year, but it's definitely really good. I think the acting is spectacular. The direction's really good. Steven Spielberg picked up the Golden Globe for Best Director, which I don't love that, because you know, I always root for the underdogs and for, you know, people who, I don't know, put a little more nuance and spin on it. But you know, he's the GOAT for a reason. So it's not atrocious that he won, you know?
Yeah. I hope Daniels pick up some solid awards at the Oscars.
I would hope they get something. I think it'll be interesting, because did they write as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's going to be a really tough category, because hopefully
they'll be in a lot of categories, you know?
Oh, I can't imagine they wouldn't be that. I mean, Michelle Yeoh is... got to be, like,
she's up, yeah,
up top three probably. She's in with a great shout.
Key's up there for supporting actor. And then screenplay, direction. I'm hoping.
But, yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed for everything, because that movie is just a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it really is. My last one, I wasn't gonna watch it, Perk, but I'm like, all right, fine, I'll watch it. I watched episode one of The Last of Us, the new HBO series being adapted from the video game.
All right.
And I don't know why I'm like this perk. Sometimes I just want to drink the haterade, and I just want to be the hipster and be like, no, I'm not going to like the thing that everyone likes and wants to do. Like, I've never played the game all the way through. I played, like, the first couple hours, but
sure.
It didn't really grab me. I'm not a big Naughty Dog fan. I'm not, like, of the Last of Us games and Uncharted games. But I'm like, all right, this is going to be a big cultural moment, at least for the communities I'm part of, so I should watch it. And yeah, it's really fucking good. Like,
yeah,
all right. Episode one is like an hour and 20 minutes, so it's like pretty much a movie.
Okay.
I think they'll get shorter after this first one because apparently it used to be two episodes and they combined them. But gotcha. Pedro Pascal, for those who don't know, Pedro Pascal plays this guy named Joel, who we're in a post-apocalyptic, America. And, you know, he's surviving and he finds out he has to take this girl across the country.
Do they do the iconic intro scene?
They do. Okay. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it too much. I'm not sure how people know, but like the very first scene is incredible. And then of the show. And then after that, they do like an expanded intro from the game with more scenes and more context. That's like the first half of the episode. And then they kind of go to modern day and then kind of go from there.
Sure.
It's really fantastic. It's by the guy who did Chernobyl on HBO, which I haven't watched, but I've heard is fantastic. And similar to what we were saying earlier with Hook, the production design and the sets are incredible. I think probably like the biggest like ups I can get to this show is that it really made you feel like you were there. And that's coming from somebody who kind of hates post-apocalyptic zombie stuff. Like, that's not my bag.
It's a little played out, yeah.
It's a bit played out. But the angle they take on just the zombie, whatever, I won't spoil it, but how the zombies came to be, I think is really, really scary. It unlocked a new fear for me.
That's
and
good.
Yeah, I mean, it gives a really good sense of place, and I'm mostly excited to see these characters interact more, which is what you want, right? So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'll keep watching it, and I'm also excited to see how much the show kind of blows up for people who haven't played the game,
because
like the HBO is pushing it really hard. Like, they are pushing it with like their entire marketing machine right now. So we'll see how well it goes, but first episode. Really fantastic.
The one question I got to ask is, I feel like I saw a lot of people who played the game and are now watching the show commenting on, it feels like they dialed back the difficulty quite a bit. and you can kind of get through the show by just like pressing a button, you know, and you don't have to actually replay the same scene and die 35 times in a row.
It's funny you say that, because that was the reason I stopped playing the game.
It's too damn hard, right?
It's hard. Like, the gunplay, they made the gunplay realistic.
Yeah.
Which equals not fun for me.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
there's a lot of gun sway, and it's like, this is not fun. But it's also funny to mention that, because one thing they did change was that people are a little bit upset about, maybe. It's apparently in the game, there were like spores in the air that caused the virus, so people had to wear gas masks a lot. There's no spores in the show. And it's probably because they want their actors to be able to see their faces.
People to be able to emote with their faces, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see if they are able to build tension in other ways, which I'm sure they will. But
sure.
I'd recommend checking it out, Perk. It's going to be, I think it's going to be big, and it's starting off on a really good foot. So
nice.
Yeah.
All right. I got one more, right?
Last one.
Okay. So after watching the slight slog that was Hook, I was looking for a palate cleanser. Pun intended. Mm. I watched The Menu.
Oh, okay.
Which is on HBO now. I was looking forward to this one hitting streaming, because I didn't have the bones to go see it in the theater, because I'm a baby.
Mm-hmm.
I can report it's a thriller, but there are almost no horror elements.
Okay. Okay.
There's no jump scares or anything. There's violence, but most of the violence is either a quick cutaway or off camera. It's very tame and very doable. It's really good. It's a really fun time. And, you know, it's a super creative plot. Ralph Fiennes
He's the best.
He's just chewing up the scenery. He's just going off. He's having the absolute time of his life. And Anya Taylor-Joy is also, she's great. She's really good. I gotta watch more stuff with her in it because I think she's fantastic.
Did you watch The Northman?
No, it's on my list. I gotta get her. You gotta watch the movie. Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
She's really good. I have some qualms about her character and not having enough to do, but she's really good at the movie, and that movie is so fun.
The supporting cast is great. John Leguizamo's in it. I didn't know he was going to be in it. His character's fun. All the characters are fun and have depth, and their character traits are exposed as the plot goes on through, you know, exposition. But and Nicholas Holt, his character is great. He's like diabolical, and then his character arc ends in such a really just powerful way, like a great moment. And I think if you're in with this, like, Yes Chef movement, you know, if you liked the bear, if you liked Chef, like. Chef or the Bear is like, what if Chef, the food porn movie, was a thriller show, and The Menu is like, what if Chef, the food porn movie, was a thriller movie? You know.
So, are you saying I should watch this movie, Perk?
I think you should definitely watch this movie. I think it's not above your pay grade from a horror standpoint at all.
Okay.
And it's a super enjoyable time. The acting is really good. The character interactions are fun. The climax and resolution are super, super satisfying, like, surprisingly, because there's not a lot of ways you think it can go, and then it goes in a way where it's like, oh, I really like that, you know? So, I wasn't expecting to have this good of a time with this movie, especially because I feel like the trailer kind of portrayed it as more of a horror movie, and it's not that. Yeah. It's not really that at all.
Okay.
I would definitely check out The Menu. It's easily available on HBO. So, and it's you know what? It's a $1.47. It's under 2 hours in this economy.
Honestly, you just sold me.
Right? Right?
That's the thing. Like, I want to watch Fablemans. I want to watch The Whale. These are all like 220.
Yeah.
Like 240, even, I think, maybe for Fablemans. Like, bro, it's too long.
And the menu's like, no, we'll get in out. We'll get some, there's good comedy. There's a lot of good comedic moments. There's some good, some punch, some emotional punch.
I mean, yeah, I do love that cast.
Yeah, Rafe, he doesn't miss.
I love him.
He doesn't miss.
Okay, all right. You put it on my radar. We'll see if I actually pull the trigger. But
fair enough.
You've got me interested at the very
it's
least.
Not
like,
gonna
I was like, I was very much like, not for me before this, but you sold me a little bit.
It's not going to be an era-defining movie, but it's definitely a good time, and it's refreshing, and it feels original. I don't know much about it. I don't even know who directed it or who wrote it, but it's very fun. It's a cool setting, you know. It's almost a shame I took so long to see it, but I'm glad that it popped on streaming and I could watch it, you know, just in my living room.
Yeah. All right. Hell yeah. Well, there we go, everyone. That is our show for this week. Thank you for sticking around to the end. Next week, we are following Bob Hoskins, right? Is that his name?
Yes.
Bob Hoskins to Who Framed Roger Rabbit, streaming on Disney+. I'm very excited for this one. This is, as far as they're saying, like, pretty groundbreaking in terms of animation, or at least mixing animation with live action. So, really stoked
for
that.
I think it was the first, right?
It has to be, if not one of the first, like, or if not the first, one of the first, and definitely the first, like, notable one.
Yeah.
It
wouldn't have been the first. But I'm trying to think.
This is what everyone knows, though, you know?
Because I feel like it wasn't, like, Disney's, like, Song of the South.
I'll be honest, I don't know what that is.
Back when. Yeah, it's, I mean, it's a very problematic movie. But it's the movie where we got Zippity-Doo-Dah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that old. That was a mix of live action and animation. I don't know. I'll get you the fun facts, Jacob. It's what I do.
Perfect way to set that hot info.
It's what I do. It's one of the only things I do.
So yeah, next week, Who Framed Roger Rabbit on Disney+. But until then, thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.